Can you hear me now? Hello. Good morning. Is it 9 o'clock? I think it is. Well then. Thanks for coming. I know this is last day, first session. At least it wasn't the party last night, so I still appreciate you being here. Before we start, I just want to get a gauge of how many people here are actually developers in one form or another. All right, cool. So I'm assuming the rest is IT pro. Any managers, that sort of decision makers? One. Out. No. all right. So before we get started again, I just would like to just pose a question. Like, as a developer, if you're independent especially, but also if you're working for a company, how would you like to reach potentially another 1 billion people? Yeah, at one hand. Come on. Jeez, it's not that early. Now, if you could reach another 1 billion people with the same amount of work, as you probably are doing now. And not only that, you could interact with them in a natural way. That's kind of like what we're here to talk about. But first off, let's just take a minute to ponder. I like setting the scene, getting you into the right mindset. So we have this concept currently with most devices that they're very one way. There are some ways you can interact with devices, but a lot of it is you telling it what to do. And as an example, like we could look at, say, where's the nearest pharmacy? Most devices can do that. Agree? Yeah? You can pick up your device and say, oh, where's the nearest pharmacy? So an improvement on that in terms of natural behavior that we as humans know is, let me know when I'm near a pharmacy. So some devices can do this as well. But then if you didn't want to take it one step further and actually make it useful, because this is still dependent on you giving input, is just say, remind me to get Panadol when I'm near a pharmacy. And that's just one sentence, and it just makes life easier. You don't have to worry about what it was you needed to do. It's one reminder, and it's contextual. There we go. I did promise there was going to be a donkey in my presentation. There it is. Now, this has no correlation to the text. You could also want to, you might want to call someone. Say you want to call Jane Smith. Most devices can do that. You say, call Jane Smith mobile, and hopefully it'll pick up the right information. And then if you want to make it even more contextual, you can say, well, call my wife, which is not the donkey. I didn't say that. So, and if you want to really make that, again, much more useful, you want to say, next time I talk to my wife, remind me to ask about her mother. So rather than you having to remember to call and go, oh, what was I going to ask? And is she even there? You set a reminder to just the next time you talk to her. And then a different scenario. Fancy food. For some unknown reasons, there's a million cooking shows on TV. And stop watching them because they'll only make more. No, I just don't understand them, I guess. So you can say, where are the restaurants near here? Most devices, again, can do that. Give me the list of restaurants that are near my position right now. But you can also say, what's the best Japanese restaurant nearby? So you give it context. Then what if you had that list and you then said, well, how long does it take to get there? Without even saying Japanese restaurant again. So it has context to, it's a natural conversation like you do as a human. And just one more example, just to sort of really get your mindset into this is something that happens for a lot of people, I could say. But what time does my flight leave? Because I get booked on flights and I have no idea when they leave. So I look up the schedule, I forget as soon as I don't look at it again. So this is something that you could set a reminder for. But what if it's delayed? What time do I have to leave if my flight is delayed? And then the next step, in my opinion, to make this actually useful is just make sure I'm on time for my flight. Make sense? So there's this natural behavior that we are trying to, you know, put into devices, and we're kind of there. Most devices can do that first step, you know, call someone, call a name on a mobile. But that's why I'm here to talk about Cortana, because Cortana does all of that, every single thing that you just saw. And the really cool thing is that it'll do it in your apps as well, mostly. Now, why am I here talking? If you were at my talk on Wednesday, you'd know that I am from the West Island of New Zealand. I am Danish, but I live in Australia, near Melbourne. And for some unknown reason, they let me into this country as well. Oh, well. I'm a Microsoft MVP for the Windows Phone, or Windows platform. It used to be Windows Phone, which is why I'm passionate about this particular topic. And then I have a blog that I write stuff on. Oh, and I should mention, I know it's a bit of a plug, but I love giving free stuff away. I have these Pluralsight passes because I do courses for them. If you want them after the talk, come get them. First in, first serve. There's about 100 of them or something. Anyway, enough about me. So when we're talking about Cortana, we're looking at connecting users to your app. From the blue lady, as I like to call her. And I specifically say she and her because it's meant to be your own personal digital assistant. So it's not an it. It is a lady that will do your bidding. So when we're looking at Cortana today, has anyone here actually used Cortana in some way? So not a lot. Oh, a few. So most people are familiar with it on the Windows Phone device, and recently it's just come out on the Windows 10 as well. But it's available in all these countries, which means that she speaks all these languages. More or less features are available in these countries. It has just come out 2 days ago, I think it was, Wednesday, that it's now available. If you're on the Insider Ring, you can get it on for Canada, Australia, and India for the desktop. It has worked for Australia in an alpha type thing for a while. Do Kiwis use the Australian version of stuff normally? Is that sort of how it works? Yeah? Even though we talk funny and stuff? Yeah? And then it's been promised that it's going to be very soon, it's going to be in Mexico, Brazil, and Japan. And then just to sort of, because people say, oh, why isn't it just available now in, you know, Philippines or, you know, some country, Denmark, for example? That's a question I do get. And one really good reason is if you look at the Chinese version, and I don't speak Chinese, I'm sorry, but it's called something like Zhao Na, I think, something. Don't hold me to that. But as you can see, it's completely different. Like, it doesn't even have the Cortana blue circle or anything. It is completely different, but it's the same service. It's the same feature. The reason they do this is that in China, this is the best way that the culture will interact with the feature. So they're doing the same thing for other countries, for Spain and France, and they actually have teams in each of these countries that are understanding the culture, how people talk to each other, looking at search results from Bing, and there's an enormous amount of data that goes into setting up a country because it is specific to each country. So does it come from New Zealand? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure it's going to be in Danish because the populations are so small. I could imagine they'd want to, but I don't know. And then, as I said, it's also going to be on desktop, which is what we're going to be looking at today, which has just been launched in as Australia. But I'm not using the Australian version because it's still very much beta. And then another feature, have you heard of the Edge browser? Probably, because it's been pummeling to you in this conference, right? Every single presenter uses Edge browser. And it's pretty good. But, you know, the fact it doesn't have plugins, for example, there's things that need to happen. But one thing it does have is it has this integration. Whoa, that went blue. Anyway, I blame the AV guys. What that shows is that you highlight something, and like you can in Google Chrome, you say search on Google, you can ask Cortana. And in this case, she actually shows on this side here, that has a description of what TechEd is. So it's integrated into Edge. And I could imagine it will be integrated into way more products, into Office product suites, for example, just because it makes sense. It's a natural way of engaging the apps. And we might even have an improved Clippy. I can't believe I said that. Just because Microsoft now loves everyone, there's not this, you know, you have to use our product type philosophy. It's more a matter of we want to bring our service to you wherever you are, whatever you're using. You can now also use it on Android as a beta. So if you have an Android device, you can sign up for the beta program. I'm not sure exactly how, but it's through the Play Store. And you can use Cortana on the Android. Obviously, they don't have access to the same APIs deep down as they do on the Windows platform, but you can set it as default instead of Google Now, for example. And then, of course, it's also coming to iPhone. And again, I'm not sure how they're going to do that because it's, you know, the iPhone, iOS platform is so restricted. So, okay, who here is going to go and use Cortana right after this talk? There's two people. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I'm leaving. the more you play with it, the more she learns about you, the more benefits you actually get out of it. One example, if you are commuting every day on the same commute, which a lot of people do, she'll know if you have location services enabled. And then after a while, she'll go, oh, you should leave now, otherwise you're going to be late for work. And you go, how the hell did she know that? But it's simply because she monitors you in a good way. of what you're doing. And it seemed, I just got a reminder this morning saying, oh, make sure you're not late for your flight this afternoon. Have you checked in? And she'll track the flight for me. And I didn't do anything. She just read my email. No, but you have to have this sort of level of trust, I guess, because otherwise it's not going to work in your benefit. It's just going to be Siri. I say that. So before we get in and look at how we actually use Cortana in our own apps, there's a bit of thought that needs to go into it, because setting up the actual features of Cortana is pretty simple, as you'll see. But one thing that is not simple is the speech design. And when I say speech design, I'm not talking about how she's talking or, you know, verbally, but it's more about, for example, what actions can I actually do through speech? What makes sense in my app that I will want to do through speech? Because not everything makes sense through speech. You know, if you're going to fill in a massive form, you don't really want to do that through speech, I could imagine. It might work. Is speech input a good option for completing a task? Because it's, as developers, I do this, it's like, ooh, a new toy, and you just want to put it into everything, and then it doesn't make sense. So you got to have this consideration first of what it actually makes sense. How does a user know when speech input is available? This is a tricky one. How do they actually know they can communicate with your app through speech or typing into Cortana? That works as well. How do they know? There are certain ways you can do that. One could be have a wizard or, you know, a tutorial when you open up the app for the first time. And one of those things could be, did you know that you can actually talk to my app? Is the app always listening? So this is a thing about foreground and background that we'll talk about in a minute. But that's also another key element. Am I always wanting to know what the user's doing, or is there specific ways they need to do it? What phrases initiate an action? This is really tricky, because you automatically, when you do this with Cortana, gotta be careful because she's listening now. how do you make it natural? How do you make people talk to an app in a natural way? It becomes clunky very quickly. So this one I find really hard. And the interaction dialogue, because she can talk back to the user as well. How do you design all this? And then, is network connectivity required? That's one that always gets forgotten. So people try and talk to her and then she crashes, or the app crashes. So how does this actually work, architecturally? So here we go. It's pretty basic, really. So we have this concept of a VCD file, which we'll go into a lot more. And Cortana knows about this, because you told her. As a developer, you told her in your app. A user does something, some sort of command, and then that goes to a Windows speech platform. So that's the Windows service in the cloud that receives what you said. And then you have a service that actually recognizes what was said. And then the whole thing gets sent back again, and it ends up with the user. So reasonably simple setup. And you only have to worry about, well, that and the user, obviously. You need to, you know, understand what your user wants to do. So to do voice integration, there are three steps. The first one is create this voice command definition file. And as you'll see in a moment, it is just an XML file. There's nothing else to it. But you need to create that, and it has a very, very specific format, but there's lots and lots of templates for it. The second thing is that you have to register these commands, because obviously you have to tell Cortana what's going on and what you want her to listen for. And then the third thing is that you need to handle whatever commands come back. Make sense? It's very hard to make this, you know, deep technical session and very exciting because it's so easy. Like, there really is not much to it. So this may be a little bit small, but here's an example of a VCD file. And that's as small as it can be. They're usually a lot larger because I'll explain that in a minute. But how about we just look at the code instead. So, number 6. All right. So here is, this is the Microsoft AdventureWorks app. If you're familiar with AdventureWorks, it's a company they've used for many years in one way or another. This is some of the demo apps that they've released. So you can go and download this. It's not something magic that I've conjured up. And I'll just talk you through this the VCD files here, the XML file, because it's pretty basic, really. So the first thing you've got is you're setting the namespace, of course, up here, but that's not very exciting. You have a command set. So that's your first thing that you need to understand. This, the command set is the whole segment of XML that is valid for a particular dialect. So in this case, this is for English US, and then you give it a name. So if you had 6 different types of English, you need 6 different command sets, which is a bit tricky, even though they might look exactly the same, all of them. But you need to define the dialogues, because it's based on what the speech language on the phone is. And then you set a command prefix. So this is the spoken word that will say, this is my app. So in this case, it's AdventureWorks. So that anything that starts with AdventureWorks, Cortana knows, that's for this app. So that's very important. So you could have, obviously, different ones for different languages, because AdventureWorks might, in Danish, be Eventyrarbejder or something, right? So you need to define that for each language as well. And then you have an example, and that's if you want to help people, or you can ask Cortana, how do I use this? She'll give you an example of what to say. Sorry, that's actually this one down here. Then you have your actual commands, and they have a name, and that name is what is passed through to your app that you can then recognize what was said. And then you have an example again, how do I use this command? And then you have a listen for, and there's 2 different ways here, so that. Ooh, that's a nice line. Look at that. I might just do that again. I'll just do this. The listen for here. And then that says show, and then you have an optional word, which is my, and then trip to destination. So in this case, it'll be AdventureWorks, show, trip to, and then whatever the destination is that you want to do. And then you have a feedback, which is what Cortana will say back to the user once she's understood what they said. And you can have fun with this one. And then you navigate to a target. So that's where in the app it's going. In this case, they're actually handling it differently. But you could put in a specific page that would go to in your XAML. And we'll get to the other commands in a minute. The other important thing is this phrase list down the bottom here. That is the list of items that are valid for, as the label says here, destination. So when you say destination up here, that's the list of valid destinations that are there. And I bet you there's a question with that you're thinking of, but I'll get to that. So that's it. And please ask questions. If you do have questions, I'm happy to answer them as we go, because then otherwise you might forget and it might not be the right context. So that makes sense? Yeah? Anything that is weird? Pretty standard XML. It really is. Yep. So can you select multiple feedback options? Not that I'm aware of, no. No. It's one per command. Yep.
So that's quite a restrictive destination list. How does it grow?
See, there's the question.
Yeah.
I'll get back to that.
All
I'll get back to that. But that's exactly what I looked at and went, huh. But no, that'll do. Excuse me. No, there is a way that you can do that with your keywords. You can actually specify them further using topics. So you have your phrases, your phrase list and your phrase topics. So you could say a suburb of London, for example. But no, there's not that I'm aware of. All right, so the next thing that you then do, so we need to let Cortana know that this is going on, that she needs to listen for these things. So in your app XAML CS, so your code behind for your app XAML. Let me just find the right one. In your unlaunched event. So that's the event that gets triggered as soon as the app is launched. Down here. So this is very nicely commented. And this is a good example. If you really want to have a go of play with this, download. I'll give you the link at the end, I think. Otherwise, I'll make sure you get it. There's a whole bunch of samples of how you use every single feature of Windows 10. And this is one of them. So in this case, you find the file that we've defined, which is your VCD XML file, and then you install it. So that's this command here. Install command definitions from storage file async. And that lets Cortana know what to look out for. So she parses that file and puts it into her notebook. Cortana has this concept of a notebook where she keeps all things about you and things that she needs to know. So ideas, you know, mentally it's like, well, if you had a personal assistant, she would probably have, or he would probably have a notebook that would contain, you know, important information, partner's birthdays, flights coming up, important emails, whatever it might be. All right. And, yep. And then we'll just go to activate it. And then in here is where, in unactivated, you actually get the voice command. So let me just get this right. Here's your speech recognition result, which is from your arguments passed in. And then you pass that with your speech recognition API. And then you get out the command, and then you can do whatever you need to do in this case. So here we're saying, well, show trip to destination. And this semantic interpretation method looks for that keyword in that result. And it gets out your destination in this case. And then it's, in this case, the app builds up a view model and passes it on to the XAML that shows trips. All right, so moment of truth. We'll see if this will actually run. So I'll fire it up here. All right, so I'm just going to fire it up once because you need to open the app once, otherwise Cortana doesn't know about it. Makes sense. So here's a very, very exciting UI. All right, so we'll try here. So, have we got sound? We do. Adventure Works, show me trip to London. I didn't get that right, did I? Hey! And? Hey, look at that. That's how easy it is. There really is only those few, three, four steps. And you get a trip to London. Now, just to prove that I didn't cheat, we can... do you want to try Melbourne? Oh, you don't want to go to Melbourne, no. No, so it'll work with any of the phrase list that we had in here. It'll take any of those arguments. Oh, now you're asking, how did it know about London? No, London is there, sorry. It's Copenhagen that's not there. So that makes sense? That's a really simple example, but that's pretty much how it is. You might have many, many, many phrases that you want to recognize and do different things with. You might not just want to open a list necessarily, but that's pretty much it. And obviously you could have different, you could have many phrase lists here as well. Show my trip to destination country, and you can add other phrases in here and you just have more phrase lists that would then interpret what that would be, and that would all be passed through as arguments to your app. No questions? This is good. Sorry?
San Jose?
Yeah?
How does it come with that?
I don't know. We'll try. It won't. I don't have a trip for San Jose, but we can. AdventureWorks, show my trip to San Jose. Hey? Hey! So now, because it didn't recognize that destination, it just goes there to a Bing search result. So, go. So that's pretty much it for the simple example. So where are we at? All right, let's switch back here. Okay, so that was a foreground app. So that means that you talk to Cortana and she opens the app for you and passes in parameters and you do whatever it is you need to do. Then there's the concept of a background app. And the difference is that Cortana launches the app and passes parameters when it's a foreground app, and in the background she calls the app and just gets the result. So the app never opens. So it's a service that runs in your app that services those queries from Cortana. App is in the foreground, and Cortana's in the foreground for a background app. And the app handles the request, and the app service handles the request when it's a background app. So foreground app, it does everything. The app opens and it does everything. Cortana's never involved again. The app service, when it's a background, handles the request and passes it back. And then this is sort of a guidance. The foreground app works best when more input is required. So if you had, create new trip, then you didn't want to, if you had, 20 different items that you need to, put in for that trip, you didn't want you could build that, but it would be a hell of a long string that you would have to say to Cortana as you get right. So that doesn't work that well. And then you use a foreground app for that. So you say, create new trip or open this trip, and you get more information about it. Whereas a background app is better with atomic actions. As we'll see in a minute, delete trip. You might want to have a confirmation on it, but in terms of an atomic action, it just happens and no other input is required. It could be, postpone a trip by 2 hours. You wouldn't necessarily need to open the app to do that. So if we remember from before, this is what we did with the VCD file. All we had to do was these three steps. If you want to do a background app, all you need to do is add this fourth step, which is handle the background activation. And that's pretty much it. So let's have a look at that. Sorry, my throat is really killing me. All right, let's switch back. Okay, so now we're back to the same. As you can see, this one is really quite long because there's one for English, Great Britain, one for French, one for Italian, one for German, Spanish, and so on. So they become quite long, even though there's pretty much just copy-paste, but it's necessary. So in this case, we want to, for a foreground app, I should say, we have this navigate function here, navigate element. For a background app, you have voice command service element, and that's sort of really what distinguished the two. And in this case, it says the target is the AdventureWorks voice command service, which, if you're keen, you can see over here. There. So that relates to a class which implements, I can't remember, I something. I'll get to that in a minute. I background task, that's right. So that's the only difference you have to do in your VCD. That's it. and then it becomes a background task. Now, there's a bit more work to do, obviously, with the service. So you need to add a project to a solution. And this is a little bit small on the right there. But if you can't see it, that says voice command service down here. And that's a project you add as an app service to your solution. And then it's important that you have this one class in there that implements iBackground task. And then that, in turn, makes you have the run method, which is that there. And that is what Cortana calls with the parameters and whatnot. Does that make sense? Yeah? So you just have an extra service that handles that. And that's it. So that's the entry point, the run method. And then in this case, they do all sorts of things to make sure that it doesn't get dismissed, so that it keeps the link to the app service. But the real guts of it is down here. We have the voice service connection that gets the voice command here, get voice command. And in this case, we have two different functions, which of two different commands that you can say to Cortana as a background task. When is trip to destination and cancel trip to destination? So depending on which one of these two, you can then handle that as well. Okay. Can you logically group them? In what? No. They're single commands. Yeah. So you'd have to do that in two goes. Yeah. And then the other thing that's really important, and this is the only thing that's a bit clunky, is that you have this package app manifest file, which gives you lots of details about your application. You know, what's the name of the executable, entry point, yada, yada, yada. And you have to, as far as I'm aware, the tooling doesn't allow you to do this in a GUI, you have to add this extensions thing manually. There are lots of examples about it, but that's the only sort of gotcha that you need to be aware of, that you have to manually add this so that your app knows that it has a service as an extension running for it. And then you give it a category, which has to be Windows App Service, and you give it an entry point, which is a fully qualified name for that method, sorry, for that class. And then you give it a name, and then you, the extension, I think that one, I can't remember now actually, but that one has to be there as well in that specific wording. People get caught out on this one because it's not obvious. And if you double click on package app manifest, all you get is just this, right? And it doesn't give you anything about extensions as far as I can tell. So you need to look at it as XML and do it manually and stuff like that. So bear in mind, that's probably the one thing that will trip you up. All right. So should we try and see if she will say when the trip to, well, you can choose this time, trip to where? So we got London, Melbourne, Copenhagen, and I can't remember what the last one was. Stockholm? No. Sorry? Copenhagen. All right, we'll do that. So Cortana should still be aware that our app exists. I shouldn't have to run it again because we haven't changed anything. So just to make sure I get the command right. Adventure Works. When is my trip to Copenhagen?
Looking for trip to Copenhagen. Here's your upcoming trip.
There you go. And that's it. Quite handy. I wasn't sure about this microphone, how that would work, but apparently that works a treat. Joel had a bit of trouble on Tuesday with it when he did it in his demo. But it works. Like, as an aside, people always ask, okay, but how well does it work? How good is Cortana actually? And it works really well. It is super good at understanding, especially like I have American Cortana, and she still gets my dialect and accent and everything. And I'm very impressed. I used to use voice commands on Windows Phone 7, I think it was, And I used it like twice because it was just terrible. It just did not work. But this works really well. Like if you haven't used Cortana, everybody does this. Tell me a joke.
What did the naughty soccer player get in his stocking?
Goal!
And they're all that terrible. But this is, and I don't know. I don't know how much of an aside. We can also get really terrible and we can sort of go, who is your daddy?
Technically speaking, that'd be Bill Gates. No big deal.
So, you know. But it works. Like it very rarely gets it wrong. It really is. And it's the same. It's the same technology they're using for Skype Translator. Have you heard of Skype Translator or used it? So as you speak, and it's only a few languages now, but I think if you speak in English, it'll translate on the fly to German. So the other person on the other end, he is German. And I mean, that to me is just super impressive. And that's how well it works. It really is a great technology, and I really hope it takes off. Especially if app developers come on board and they use this because it's so easy. It is so easy to use in your app, except for the speech design. Like trying to get that right is tricky. But the technical implementation is really not hard. Okay. What do we got? All right. Now, the question I had before from a gentleman down here was, well, that's very static. How do we actually update this phrase list? So the list down here, we have a phrase list. And I don't know if you noticed, but Copenhagen is not in there. And we can still say Copenhagen. So the way it does that is that this is the only element that you can update programmatically, is the phrase list. The commands you have to do in XML, and it does require another deploy. So if you want to add more features that Cortana knows about, you have to do another version of your app. But the phrase list, you can manipulate. So how do we do that? See if I get my notes right. So again, in the app XAML, you may have noticed already, but there was a little segment up here. Wrong one. Which is in the on launched. So in here, we get the storage file, and we install the command definitions, and then it goes in here and it updates the destination phrase list. So this is, you can do this sort of in many different ways. This is just the way they've decided to do it here on launched. And if you look at that, that's in the view model, is a function that looks at the AdventureWorks command set country code. Sorry, it looks at the, here we go, for each trip in the store that we have of trips. So it looks at all the trips we have, it iterates through all the destinations, and it adds them to the phrase list, which is this destination here, which is just a list of strings, right? And then it sets this phrase list called destination to the new one. So it overwrites it every time. So what this means is that we add destinations, we can try and do this if you want. We add destinations. Oh, come on. Didn't mean to do that. And when we launch the app next time, Cortana will know about them as well. So we have AdventureWorks here. And, okay, give me a destination. Of course. I was waiting for that one. Description. Kiwi Central. So this doesn't actually use that as such. Because I'd like to come back. I like you guys. And that's it. And we'll just save it. And we have Auckland. Now, if I remember correctly, can I do it now or do I have to open it again? What do you reckon? Do we try? AdventureWorks, show my trip to Auckland.
Okay, showing trip to Auckland.
I didn't expect that. But there you go. Holy crap. Does she know where I am? No, so again, another example. It just works. It is so impressive. This speech recognition thing that Microsoft has done which is built on some company they bought many years ago, 6-7 years ago. It's just unbelievably impressive. Now, and that's it. That's the programmatic changes. If you want to go and look at the XML, your VCD updated, you can go in and find out where the store apps are installed and go and find it and so on. Because obviously the our source file won't change. So that is really the three ways that you can programmatically get Cortana to interact with your users. She does this. Hey, Cortana, where am I?
You're located at 94 Federal Street in Auckland.
I can never get sick of it. So is there any questions for these three ways? So you all know exactly what to do. That's excellent. Now, it is that simple. It really is that simple. Now, let's go back to the slides for a minute. All right. So I've just given you the tools. It's a bit like Microsoft have done with HoloLens. And if you were at the presentation yesterday, which I'm assume everybody was, or will be today, it was quite informative. There's nothing set there, if you didn't go, there's nothing set that is not public knowledge, but it gives you a really good roundup of everything that is known so far. And it doesn't have a device there. I'm sorry. But that it's the same. I see Cortana sort of a smaller example of it, but it's here's a tool that is so powerful. Now we want you to understand what you can do with it. And there may be other ways that you can interact with Cortana further on, absolutely. But for now, it's these three. It's the two ways of foreground and background apps. But it's pretty powerful. You can build up pretty, complex commands that she'll understand. But I'll give you a couple of examples of what other people are doing. So there's a company, actually it's on Instructables where you can download the instructions, but there's certain companies, one of them is Onion, that do IoT stuff. But they have Cortana talk to just it's just a thin client, and it talks to an Azure mobile service. And this has connection to X number of Raspberry Pis. And Raspberry Pis, you may or may not know, also runs Windows 10. So again, we're on the same platform and we talk the same language. Not that you can't hook up other IoT devices as well. But what they get then, they have peripherals attached to the Raspberry Pis, and the Raspberry Pi then controls them in some way or another. One of them was with printing receipts. So they had Cortana to say, Cortana, print receipt for, and then they would just say what it was, and she would print out the receipt for this customer. It was very much a prototype. But it's just, there's a lot of natural interaction that we don't do right now because we have a cash register or we have other devices that we are used to using that could be highly a lot more efficient and highly streamlined to what they are now. And then before we open for Q&A and whatnot, a good friend of mine, Matt Kavanagh in South Africa. He's one of these guys that you don't quite know what he does, and then when he finally does something, it's unbelievably cool. And I think it was about a year ago, he was playing, he's an author, writes books about Netduino, if anyone's played with Netduinos, which is a .NET version of Arduinos, essentially. And he got this idea, and I'll just let this video speak for itself. It's very short.
Cortana, it's a bit too dead in here.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Cortana, it's a bit too bright in here.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Thank you.
That's it. But how cool is that? I love it. All he has is a Bluetooth connected Netduino, and then he's playing with 240 watt electricity. Okay, that manages a relay that switches the lamp on and off. But how powerful is that? Just think of it as If you're in a wheelchair, you go, hey, Cortana, open my front gate. And because Cortana can be voice recognition as well, so you can set it up so she only recognizes your voice, then it would open a gate for a disabled person. Like, there's so many applications, and they're relatively simple to do. Yes? So the question is it doing text to speech? No, because how it works is that it'll show that what you said in text, but that's only because it comes back. So the response is scripted. It's in your XML, in your VCD file in here. You have the feedback, which is there. The feedback is what she says. So Matt would have made a VCD that had, sorry about that, chief, and then would turn on the lights. So that's how that works. But it's just, I'm still blown away how simple it is. Yes? Acronyms? That's a good question. I don't know. I actually don't know. But I'd love it if there was. So you can, yes?
Does the application have access to the user's speech? So, for example, could you say, take a memo as your command, and then get back what the user says?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can have as that. I'll go back here again. This, really? Yep. This parameter here, could just be, oh, hang on. No, that's not right. But yes, you can. I can't remember how to do it now. But yes, you can. You can have a parameter that just gets whatever that is. Yeah, absolutely. Yes?
One app overwrites another app's command?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. I think they do.
Because I can see, like, Google overriding OneDrive.
Yeah. You mean the commands as such?
Yeah.
I think they do. I haven't tested it, but I think that is probably one of the things that needs sorting out. Yeah. Yes?
In the future, is the idea that connects is anything sort of services that can be available in the cloud, but use things like gaze or another emotion type thing, so that you can sense what the person is.
Wow. So the question is it, will Cortana connect to any other IoT input device? I don't know. I hope. I mean, there's really no limits as such to how you can interact with it. But right now, it's just through the text commands. Yeah. Yes?
So, have you some more advanced stuff, like you were saying, you recognize the context and
can
continue from something that you said?
Sorry? Yeah, so the... I'm not sure. I know you can do it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm writing that down because I want to find out. I'm not sure you can do it programmatically just yet with contextual. You can on the platform. If I can show you, but we're running out of time. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question, actually. Was there one there? Yes. So, voice command project type?
Voice command service.
Oh, that. Yeah, it's a Windows app. Sorry, Windows, an app service.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it has to be, that name has to match up with the same name that's in your VCD file?
No, well, that's this file here. The class has to match up with that. So the AdventureWorks voice command service is the class name in here. Yes. Yep. Yes.
Will Cortana in the future be aware of, like, different ways to say the same word? So, for example, instead of when, will it know that what time is an equivalent phrase or something like that?
So the question is, does she understand different ways of saying the same thing? She does that already. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Probably not with the VCD file, because that's very strict. But if you talk to her normally, she'll understand. You can say what time it is or... show me the time now, or, you know, this way, and she will understand that naturally. Yeah, definitely.
Is that natural text?
where does the built-in Cortana experience get her knowledge from, so I'm saying? It's actually all Bing. It's a service that's included in Bing as far as I'm aware. And I'm assuming it's not a big BCD file. It's probably some very, very clever AI somewhere. She does predictions as well. So for the Soccer World Cup, she only got one match wrong. For the, what was it? Various sporting events. And she gets all of them right, bar one, yes? Sorry? Let's try. Who is going to win the Rugby World Cup? Ah, see, she. It just became a Bing result. So, but no, there. It depends on whether the Cortana team has built it into it or not. But it's just, there's so many cool things in this. Yes. How do we put synonymous words in it? You can put optional words, but I don't know about synonymous words. Anyone knows about that? Anyone's been playing with it? No?
Could you have multiple listen calls to do the same execution?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So you could do it that way, but it would be nice if you had a list of synonyms. Absolutely. Yeah, you could. You could build it up that way. It's getting creative, I guess. But it's not a recognized behavior as such. Yes? No. She tends to filter out background noise quite well. So if you're in a station or something and you're talking to her, she'd understand that. But she doesn't get dual input. I'm not sure how that would work. That would be... Yeah. But that's, I'm not sure how that works. Probably a hardware thing that recognizes. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, the American voice is done by, it's done by the lady that did the Cortana voice. I can't remember her name. There's a voice actress. The Australian one is very much more synthesized. It doesn't sound that great. And I don't know about China, how well it sounds. I don't speak Chinese. But I do believe that the Chinese one is done by a voice actress as well. So they're sort of mix and match. But Scarlett Johansson? I don't know. I had a voice, a male once with John Cleese, but I'm not. That's not quite the same. Anyone else? Do they love you?
Yeah.
In terms of? Well, you're Australian, yeah. I don't know when New Zealand's going to be on there. I'm not sure. Pretty much all of my content can be found on these sites, unless there's any other questions. We're just running out of time. And don't forget to vote, please. You can win stuff. And if you want these Pluralsight passes, come and get them, because I've got a stack of them. Thank you.